All right. So, love having technical difficulties, having our whole episode get deleted before we could save it.
Be sad.
We move forward.
Yeah, we okay. Charge on. So, guys, this is the polished version of what we did. Just know that we practiced.
No.
Extensively.
Had a head start.
Man, I really wanted to talk about that kitchen sink, too, man. That was good.
Yeah.
That would be secret.
It's a secret. You'll never know. It'll be an unpublished episode thanks to DaVinci Resolve. Shout out.
Shout out.
And Google Chrome and your million tabs.
Yeah, that was my bad too.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I think every podcast goes through this, and we were just here to bullshit. Just wanted to hang out and
we're bullshit. Talk
a little bit. Yeah, I mean, if we lose, what did we lose? We lost a good conversation. Oh no.
No, we still had it.
We lost the recording of it. Oh well. We have these conversations. How many of these conversations have we already had unrecorded?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Millions.
Probably not millions, but a lot. So I'm okay with this not being millions. Recorded. And it's going to happen, man. It's going to happen at least 100 more times.
Yep.
But
we're going to start saving all the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to find a way to make the computer save all the time.
Like quick save Skyrim style.
Yeah. Save now.
Yeah. So... anyway, I do want to talk about what we already talked about the the start, how you start your own grow, what to focus first, and like what's priority. And my answer when Josh asked me was genetics first and lights also first.
Yes.
Paraphrasing, but yeah, talk
about genetics a little bit. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean by genetics the new growers?
Yeah, and I think the majority of new growers probably found a seed in their jar, right?
Oh yeah,
A bag seed.
Yeah,
and right. I think we lost this in the podcast we did a couple days ago that didn't get saved. Talking about bag seeds and their feminized properties, but. Here we go. So the one benefit you get, potential benefit you get from a bag seed, it's a good chance it's going to be female. That female pollen, most grows, if they're not doing pheno hunts or they're not doing breeding in their facility, and you get a seed from them, chances are it's female. That female got hermed somehow, that pollen got into that same plant or another plant next to it and made seeds.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, there's places that do a lot of in-house and they will have people who are on the squad that maybe aren't as due diligent on their like cleaning or quarantine, procedures. And, yeah, sometimes you get some pollen that strays off into a different room and you'll get a whole swath because all it takes is a little bit and those fans are big as hell.
But, okay, so yeah, we talked about... I only gave you really benefits. I only gave you the one benefit of having a bag seed. There are so many drawbacks, the main one being herm genetics. If you have seeds from a herm, you just... probably, I don't know the figure, but I'm just going to throw a random. You doubled your chances of that being a herm. That's not good. It's not good to have bag seeds, necessarily. It's not good to plant them. But, again, if you want to be as cheap as possible, you know, just as like a trial to see if you want to grow cannabis, it's something you're interested in, you're just trying it out. Fuck yeah, throw that bag seed in some soil, dude. Throw it in a solo cup and throw it on the windowsill. Do your thing.
Yes.
Fucking start it. You know, whatever it takes for you. But when you get serious about it and you're like, okay, I want to do this, get yourself a good light. I mean, you can start off with a little Mars Hydro, a little 600 watt that we have pumping right now. It's a little piece of tin foil with some LED strips on it, but it does wonders for under $100.
Yeah, $86, dude.
Actually, I mean, there
maybe
was
maybe not anymore, but
yeah,
either. At one point in time when we got them, they're $86.
And there's a 1,000-watt version, I think, for like $120, something like that. It's not that much more expensive. Maybe it's $160, but still, like, there's a 1,000-watt version for cheap. Yeah, get yourself some cheap supplies, man, just to see if you want to do it. And, you know, if you feel that you're something pretty confident about something you want to do, buy some good genetics, you know, get yourself, go on a reputable seed company, seed bank, you know, Archive, Portland, or, you know, Seeds Here Now is where I've got a couple of my seeds. You can buy them straight from the breeder. I bought some straight from Subcool, Subcool and, who am I thinking of? Jinx Proof. Yeah, I've bought straight from them. Unfortunately, you can't buy them straight from Subcool anymore. Well, I don't know if that seed company is necessarily still alive. I know it got transferred to his ex at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, Jinx Proof seeds are $50 for a pack of like, I think they were like 10 regular seeds. Like that's not expensive.
No, that's not expensive at all.
Unless you're living paycheck to paycheck, but I was, and I bought them, like, you know, and I haven't even planted them. I bought them just to have. Anyway, yeah, buy yourself some decent genetics, someone reputable, and you'll have a much better time.
And also, like, I suggest, like, fucking around with, you know, maybe your favorite strain, you know? Like, if you're like, oh, man, I'm really digging the smoke of this, and every time you see that strain in a store, you buy it, like, maybe try to find those seeds, you know? Like, have that be your run, because you'll be excited to get that product, you know? You're being excited to have your own supply of, you know, your favorite strain.
Yeah, that's kind of how me and my... one of my buddies before kind of got started. He bought seeds online back when it was very weird to buy seeds, and you get them in this weird packaging that you have to basically cut open, and, you know, you're excited as fuck to get those seeds. And they took like a month and a half to get to you, and you had to mail in your check. You didn't know what the fuck. It just seemed so sketchy. But he bought some Northern Lights.
Hell yeah.
Northern Lights seeds and some by like Nirvana Seed Bank or Nirvana Seeds or something like that. But that was his favorite strain at the time, and that was what we ended up growing, like, the first couple runs. That was a cool experience, man. He was stoked that he got to smoke his Northern Lights. So it is neat. Yeah, go after a strain that you are interested in, man.
Fuck yeah, absolutely.
That's why I bought those Jinx Proof. Even though I'm not growing them right now, I know this 9-pound hammer. I knew I had to get it, man. I love 9-pound hammer.
9-pound hammer.
And they're regular seeds, so there's a million phenos out there, and I have a couple of them.
Right.
So.
Hell yeah. That is what's up. Step two, past lights and past having, you know, good genetics, I think... for at least me personally, next thing up is to have a good space. You know, you're going to want to have a dedicated area that you can do this, that is easy to section off, and isn't going to be somewhere where it is hard to manage the temperature or keep pests out. These are things that you have to consider. Here in Washington, unless you're a beast, right? Like, you're growing inside because it's really dark here. And there's just a bunch of factors that play into growing outdoors here. We have a really short outdoor season, so there's not a whole lot of time. You typically just get the one run outside. Mm-hmm. On this side of the mountains, anyways. You know, if you're growing inside, you want to have that space that, you know, you can dedicate to it. And then in there, you're going to want to know what the temperature and the humidity is, like where that kind of stays. And when you're doing your Googling and your YouTubing, that's going to come up. That's a factor. So you want to make sure that you're putting it in an area that is easy to manage and get it to the right zone.
And pretty basic, like, room temperatures you know, on like any given day, I guess here on like a spring day, that's not too cold, not too warm. And like a room temperature is pretty applicable. Like, you know, you could throw some plants in your living room and it'd be all right in that environment. You know, you hit that like 70 to 80 degree mark. I mean, that's a little higher on the temperature, but that's a decent environment. That's what we like to grow in at our facility. And, you know, humidity, it's not, I don't want to say it's not super important, but it's not one of those things, I guess, here that we have to worry about. So that's why I'm not too, but I guess somewhere like Colorado where it's dry, you need to worry about that. You know, you need to worry about your humidity being higher or else you're just, your VPD goes down and you lose yield essentially in the long run.
Yeah. I feel like Washington has maybe the only danger you could have would be potentially way on the other side of the spectrum where it'd be like too wet and you, yep, know, you get a bunch of rot or like mold.
Yep. Even in our indoor facility where our parameters are like supposed to be super fine tuned, right? We have gotten bud rot on a green crack just because it's so fucking like donkey dick style, just big ass cola, and it's like inevitable. It's like the only way to not have that happen is to take an axe midway through flower and split it in half. Like, you can't do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if there is a way, like some master grower out there, like has this ancient growing secret.
And yeah, he puts that whole cultivar in that one room and adjusts that whole room for that cultivar. Like, if you have a bunch of cultivars in that one room, you're not going to adjust it for that green crack.
True.
Unless that whole room is green crack.
Or could be at the same parameters that you need the green
crack, right, at. Right. Without,
Are there a lot of strains that pair well like that, that grow in the same kind of environment and, you know, they could do well with kind of the same fine tuning?
They would benefit.
Yeah. Well, are you asking me to list them or are you just...
No. I'm just like, you know, obviously when you're talking about specific fine tuning, like you're like, things are getting dialed down at a certain minuscule level, and I just want to know if, like, you know, it's that has the potential, that same tiny twist that you're making is also beneficial to other strains.
My answer would be no. My answer would be no.
You know.
Yeah. No. I think, like, yes, sort of. But, like, so when you're saying fine-tuning and you're, like, literally getting down, depending on how nitty-gritty microscopic your fine-tuning is, if you're really, really fine-tuning it, you know, on the microscopic-style level, it's not going to be the same as any other cultivar, right? Every cultivar is going to have, like, basically the thumbprint of necessity. I think there's very similar ones, like Citrique, really big donkey dick cola is like the green crack. I'm sure if you put those two in the room together, you'd probably get
get their humidity right.
Right. Yeah. To prevent bud rotting for those two cultivars. Right. Yeah. So yes, but like when you're speaking, if you're talking fine tuning, yeah, like no.
Gotcha.
What is this that you rolled up?
That's Forbidden Punch.
Oh yeah, that's that one that's neither Forbidden Fruit nor Purple Punch.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Neither nor. It's
tell me about it.
Skunk Haze and Northern Lights. Hey. What do you know? Northern Lights.
That sounds like a different strain that I've heard of before. Like Skunk Purple One Lights and Northern Lights, I feel like is already a strain.
Yeah, but that's Skunk Haze and Northern Lights.
Shut the fuck up. What strain is that? Skunk Haze and Northern Lights. You don't know. You're just saying it. No, I asked if that was the
cross.
Yeah. Oh, that's Skunk Haze.
Skunk Haze.
Oh, not cross Skunk Number One. With...
No, not Skunk.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm sure there's a Skunk in Northern Lights. Yeah,
that's I see. Yeah, I was like, how do you? Yeah, but yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
skunk haze in this. I'm like,
skunk haze. Okay, so they just like took that and were like, oh, we can, you know, I don't think they made anything spectacular. I don't necessarily say the flavors anywhere.
Yeah. It smells really nice.
The high is pretty good.
Yeah, the high is cool. I don't know why they called it Forbidden Punch. I'm kind of upset that they do that.
Yeah, that's a very strange tactic.
When companies do that, man, it makes me irritated on a level. And I don't understand why, because I'm not, like, I don't grow on a professional level. But when people take just their two strains and they're like, I'm going to cross these. And then the audacity or the pride that you must feel to think that you were the first motherfucker to cross these two strains ever and name that strain ever, and then you name it something completely random that has nothing to do with the two parent strains, and there's probably already two other versions of the same thing out there that is the same ass cross, just called something different.
Yeah, it's the complete randomness of it that gets me. Like, it's not relatable to the parent strains at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they put in a random weed name generator, and they're like, clicked it once, and that was the name they went with. Forbidden Punch.
Yeah.
Skunk Haze and Northern Lights. Yeah, Forbidden Punch.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Wrong.
You fucked up. You done fucked up, son.
Yeah.
There's way better ways.
Yeah, this is a very interesting choice. But hey, whatever. You're free to do whatever you want. If you make a strain, you can call it whatever you want. We're just advising here, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, dude.
As a consumer,
just please make it easy for us and name stuff what it's supposed to be named. And stop. Oh, my God. This is another thing. If you're in a new market and you are experiencing these strains for the first time ever, just understand that there's a lot of growers in those areas that are growing their weed, and they are just calling it whatever they want to call it, right? And this isn't about crossing it and naming it something different. This is just like, hey, I grew this weed. They may or may not even know what the original seeds are. They grow it, and they're like, this is Blue Dream.
Mm-hmm.
And they call it Blue Dream, they get it tested as Blue Dream, and then they sell it as Blue Dream. But it's not Blue Dream.
Yeah, that's whack. That is, no.
And that happens so much. I had this, these people were trying to sell me an Indica Jack Herrera.
Who, was this in Oklahoma?
In Oklahoma.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Emerging markets, stop. They're like,
oh, it's just, you know, we got this special cross of Jack Herrera that's a super Indica, and it's all looking like hella dense and got some like,
I'm sorry, they sold it at purple, like that?
Yeah.
They said, ooh, we have this Indica version.
Jack Herrera.
Yeah. I want to talk to these people.
Yeah, I was like, really? I was like, where did you get these seeds from? They're like, oh, you know, like we just, you know, my grower, he got them.
Yeah, I want to be like, how do you breed that?
I'm like, but like, how?
What did he cross it with?
How is this Jack Herrera and Indica? Like, what was the pheno? Like, how many runs?
That's what I want to know, because they're bullshit. Whatever they did, it's...
Right. No, but he was like, couldn't tell me, and I'm like, uh-huh. I was like, wow, that's so crazy, Indica Jack Herrera. I mean, obviously, I'm not buying that. But...
They'd be in a book if that was the case.
Oh, bro.
They'd be in a magazine somewhere. Oops. We'd know about it.
Yeah. Oh, we'd know. It would break. That would be the hit. Yeah, dude, no. But anyways, that happened. So be wary. If you're in a new state, there's like five that just came online, right? Like if you're over there and like, I forget which Dakota did it. I'm going to guess and South. Say South. Yep.
Okay. Cool. South, sir.
Yeah. So South Dakota. If you're in South Dakota, just understand that that's going to happen. Somebody's going to be like, oh, this is super lemon haze. No, it ain't. Okay. Here's what you can do to combat that. There's a ton of free information online, right? You just Google super lemon haze, and there's going to be a variety of different things that come up. Some of those things are going to have comments where people kind of state their personal experiences with this weed. And if you read those, you're going to get what it's supposed to
smell like, taste like, what the high is supposed to be like. You can see pictures of the bud, so kind of identify, at least point yourself in the right direction.
You know what's crazy, though? Now that I'm kind of involved a little more in the industry and I see things happen like pheno hunts, right, where you have this strain. Because I used to be the type of person who'd like look it into a jar. I thought I was like the coolest kid because I could look into that jar and be like, that's not X strain. That's not what that looks like. I just think I was probably wrong, most likely. But like I could look in the strain. I thought I was pretty familiar with Gorilla Glue. And Gorilla Glue, don't get me wrong, I'm pretty sure that one was a clone only for the longest time. Like that one, I'm sure there you can get phenos of it now and seeds, but pretty sure that's like a clone only strain. And so the nug structure of that is consistent. You like can't not be, right? Mm-hmm. Sure, it's gonna grow different with like a little variance, but it was like the super knobby strain, and I was like, I could look at certain Gorilla Glues and I'd be like, no, that's not a Gorilla Glue. It's like a ball. It's shaped like artisan weed, where yeah. It's just a ball. Just a triangle. I'm like, dude, that is not Gorilla Glue. So with this, after doing like this pheno hunt, the little pheno hunt we did, the variability of seeds is insane. Like say we have this Mac, or not Mac, because that's a clone only strain too, but like we have a Smactite, right? And Smactite gets super popular, and you know, someone can look at that Smactite, and then someone else grows this Smactite, and theirs looks completely different. It's green versus purple, right? And you're like, that's not Smactite, and people could be like, that's not Smactite, but it is. So all this like polyhybridization of all the strains are making it so that there's this huge, you're just opening up the family tree, yeah. Right? Like, whereas like a lot of these old school strains, like you know that they're these strains because they look like that. Yeah. You know,
like this, the genetics are solid. Like,
yeah, I would feel comfortable if I went into, like, I would feel at this point comfortable if I walked into a store and some of our product was in that store and I looked in the jar and I didn't see the strain, I could identify that strain. Like, I think that's pretty fun. Like, I'm like, oh, this is this. But it's because I grew it, right? Like, if someone else had a different looking kitchen sink, different variant in their seed, like, I'm not going to be able to be like, that's not kitchen sink. Because it could be.
I don't know. You could be like, it looks like kitchen sink. I think like strains like,
dude,
Blue Dream, those kind of like.
Are Blue Dream is almost indistinguishable. It's like green with orange ass hairs, and it's like coniferous and like kind of airy. Like Blue Dream is unmistakable. If you look at something, you know it's Blue Dream.
Yeah.
You know if it's not.
Yeah,
if it is or it isn't.
Blue Dream. Yeah, when people are like, "Oh, this is Blue Dream," and you look at it, you're like, "Nah."
So that's kind of unfortunate though, because like you get into these things like Runts, like that's just a cross, right? That's Gelato and Skittles. There's white Runts. There's pink Runts. There's phenos, dude. There's out there. There's phenos. So, and a Runts is huge, right? So in Oklahoma, you pick up this weed and they say it's Runts. It very well could be Runts, but it might be green, whereas Gelato, Skittles, it should be like this dark purple.
Yeah. Or at least like a dark ass green.
Yeah.
Be a dark bud, I think.
But, I mean, that's just crazy that, like, moving forward, it's only going to get worse.
Oh, so much worse. They're going to have to do some centralized, like, testing your shit. But here's the thing, what was that company that.
Phylos,
yeah. Dun. Phylos, dude. Because, like, they almost did that, and then this company just turned around and
did some. There's another company trying to do it.
Yeah, of course. There's always going to be a company trying to do it, but now it's like nobody. And like, no, right. Fuck you, dude. Yeah.
Right. Phylos ruined it.
Yeah. Just ruined it, dude. Like, bitches. We needed that. We needed somebody to be like, yep, this is this, and you can send it here, and we will tell you what it is.
Yeah.
Enough. Like, that's how you end the bullshit, is like, when people send their shit in for testing, it also gets sent to the genetics thing, and they tell you what pheno it is.
Mm-hmm. But the only way to do that is enough data. And the data is forever expanding because breeders are making new crosses every day.
Right.
But to even build something like that, like even something like 23andMe, they needed X amount of samples before they could even process a sample. Hmm. You know, you need a library before you could like look at something and then compare it to something in your library. You can't just go in with nothing and be like, this is this because why?
No, I know. Yeah, you gotta go and, yeah.
Right. So you need, so that's why it's like all near impossible now because of that scare, but you still have the people who still want to know, so they'll help, but like it's clearly going to not be enough.
Yeah, no.
Because the library is expanding forever, like forever. Infinitely, every day.
And stuff's falling, like stuff is going extinct. Like right. There's runs of stuff that you were never going to get that actual run of thing like ever again. It's gone now.
Right. Right?
Like, yeah. Even if they went and back crossed it and brought it back or whatever the fuck.
It will never be that. Yeah.
It will never be that.
That's crazy. Strains lost into the ether.
Yeah. Just
never. Happens every day too. Yeah.
Great white buffalo.
Every time someone pops a seed, a pheno is lost. Mm-hmm. That's insane. Weed is weird. The potential, the genetic potential and variancy that it has, dude. Like, there's still colors out there that we have not seen of weed. I'm sure there's probably going to be eventually, like, a smacking strain that's just fucking crazy, but looks brown.
Yeah.
But it's fire, dude. Yeah. Some of this weird purple just got, like too weird, weirdly.
Yeah, like and purple, like, orange.
Yeah, and turns brown.
Yeah.
And it's fire.
Yeah. Imagine that. I can see that.
Yeah.
You could see like a purple with a lot of orange hairs and a little bit of orange.
Because orange, it not necessarily on the plant side of it, but the little hairs, they turn orange. So there's orange somewhere in the genetic plant, right?
So you got
that color orange, is in there.
Got that weird purple, like not all the way purple. And then you get like maybe the finish on that plant is really like a golden finish, and so you get these like ends of these leaves,
or there's gonna be there's gonna be these crazy strains that they are like black and they have these orange hairs.
Mm-hmm.
Just dude, and then like the shit like CRISPR, they just like genetically modify it and smash, and I guess they don't smash stuff into stuff, but yeah dude, you can like go in there and move the genes around and kind of tailor it.
Wow.
But I mean, we're already doing it. It's just taking a lot longer through breeding it out. Whereas we can just go in and bloop, move this DNA over here, and now we have a black plant that makes orange hairs.
Perfect.
The future is weird.
I want pink weed.
Pink weed would be cool. Pink is happening. Like, we have some Trop cookies that's looking pink. Some forbidden
fruit. Yeah, it's already getting there. Like I have seen like hints of pink, like some pink platinum in the situation.
Oh fuck you.
What? It
stopped. Okay, we're alive.
We're alive.
We're here. We're
made crisis it. Averted,
we
guys.
We made it. That was just a little break. We had to
let me get one of those tots.
Yeah, of course. Have the rest of them.
Oh, shit.
Take them with you.
Cool.
Yeah. Gene modification, GMO. Unlocking DNA.
Like, I want to smoke it, but I'd be scared to smoke it, you know? Like, they're like, hey, we made this weed bright
pink.
Yeah,
but they're... Okay, so they're not taking... That the plan isn't to take something from another crop and introduce it to this crop, like they did, like, corn and shit like that, and make it, like, this. It's the point is to take it from their DNA and just like lobotomize it and or take it from cultivar to cultivar, but like not branching out of the cannabis space so that you can unlock literally anything you want to do with that it can do, like they do apples, right?
Yeah.
Like, so if you plant apples out of that, you found a seed in your apple, right? Like, because they're in the middle of every apple, you go plant that, you're just going to get crab apples. And they're just going to be this, like, random fuck off of a plant, because all apple trees are cloned or like tissue cultured.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You'll just get some like green ass, plain ass apples. Not Granny Smiths. They're just like these little, you know, wow, softball sized apples. That'll just, these kind of tart.
That's shitty.
Yeah. You can't just like plant a Honeycrisp and expect a Honeycrisp. It's sad, right?
Wow, that's upsetting. Yeah, wow, I'd be pissed.
The more you know.
Like, whoa. So if all those died, gone forever.
I'm sure they're stored somewhere. They gotta be. Like somewhere in like Switzerland with the seed bank. They're like frozen in time.
What,
like
this clone?
Yeah, like, man.
It's in the juice.
Yeah.
It's in the plasma or yep, whatever.
Yeah, staying alive.
Yeah.
But with...
Because don't they grow the stuff. They grow... They do the weed clones now.
Yeah, but like with tissue culture, juice, you should be able to... Yeah, just like be able to take whatever cells of that plant and be able to inject some shit into it and build it back.
Yeah, give it the juice.
Yeah. Just take the juice, man. Yeah. Yeah. No, the future is weird, man. I'm excited. There's a lot of... there's a lot of shit that's going to happen in the next couple.
Oh, dude. Yeah, the industry is about to explode.
I'm excited. Crazy. It's going to be strange because I don't know how it's going to happen. Nobody does, but it's going to be a good Wild West time. Like, because like, it's not going to be like each state is individually going to creep until we have all 50, right? It's going to be at like one point and in everything.
Yeah, it'll get past the tipping
point. Where do you think people are going to go? Like, flood to go grow?
I think the Midwest.
Yeah, I was going to say, you think they're just going to like monocrop a fucking... Oh, that's going to be terrible. The Marlboro style. Just instead of fields of corn, it's going to be fields of
Canada
cannabis.
Canada and Mexico already have that beat.
Yeah, but don't they have like... In Canada, don't they use warehouses?
But they have. Because so much of Canada is like uninhabitable, right?
Right. It's just so ice.
It's just like people don't live there.
Okay. Right?
Like it's just shitty. So they have all this space. So they're like, well, fuck, dude.
Oh, that's why they built it. That's why it's inside.
These warehouses.
Oh, no.
It's all indoor anyways.
Right.
We have unlimited space.
The government weed.
Unlimited land. And they're like, all right. Like, just
is it just cold? Is it warehouses. Just frozen out there? Or what? What's the deal?
No, it's just, it's indoor. So it's
no, insulated. No. Like, what's the land? Why don't they build there?
Oh, yeah, because it's cold.
It's just shitty.
If you look at like all the, I guess some people live up there, right? They got it. But like when you look at their, the map, all the cities and all the like important stuff is
near the,
right,
yeah,
by the border.
Southern
as
part.
Warm
southern
as
half.
It can get. Yeah.
Yeah, but like Canada just goes off like it's breaking off into the North Pole anyway. Yeah. Like
it goes to the top of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, it floated down here. It didn't.
But yeah, so when we can do international, dude, those guys are going to, they already got us beat.
International is going to be interesting. I don't know if that'll be like part of the thing.
That'll
think?
Be part of
it. You thing. Think so?
Instantly.
Instantly?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because anything that we can make money on, yeah, the tariffs.
Yeah, but like boom. We're going to, if they have tons of it, then we'd be the ones buying it from them. Why would we do that?
Because we charge them to sell it to us. The government does. The government charges them to be able to sell their products.
I think the price would have to be right for us to buy it from them.
Oh, it'd be very right.
Because they'd need to make a lot of money off
pounds.
It. Yeah.
Millions of pounds. Like just like this disgusting amounts of weed. They'd just be pumping it out.
Hmm. Yeah, that's...
They would do that, like...
Just
everything would be the,
government
like, flash-freeze, like, cure.
Yeah, whatever. But how long can they do that? Like, how long until, like, people aren't consuming that quality of weed?
Never.
If there will always be a market.
If it's cheap enough, there will always be a market. And if people stop consuming flower in a whole, you just turn it into... You just blast it, dude.
Yeah, like, you
just,
can make it into anything.
Yeah.
Making it in edibles,
yeah.
Making
now
it in topicals.
And now it's whatever the fuck people want.
True.
Yeah.
They make crystals and shit.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
there'll always be a market for having that much weed. Yeah, and the way that you're able to sell at a cheaper price is to just have a fuck ton of it, right? Like, you just have so much that it doesn't matter. Like, even if you sold everything at pennies, you would be rich.
How do you think they're going to get rid of, like, the stocks and shit of cannabis? Like, what are they going to use that hemp for when they have, like,
oh, dude, I hope pounds. They're using it for hempcrete. I hope they're using it for,
like, they got to have in it. Because that shit doesn't go away just like that, dude. Hemp is strong. Yeah, that's going to be a huge market. They're going to have, if they're going to go through that much weed, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. They're going to have, they're going to have to.
You have byproduct. You have other businesses off of the byproduct of weed.
Right.
You
create this that's whole money over money.
Yeah. Like, and the paper and the clothes and all the stuff that's made from it is better and cheaper. It displaces more carbon.
Yeah, there was like this. There was like this lady up in Seattle or something trying to get like the first hempcrete building, like her house. She wanted it built out of it, but like she was like, they were like complaining about how many hoops they have to jump through the city and like how it was getting delayed over and over again because.
They had to, like,
so many things.
Like a billion engineers yeah. sign off on this
yep.
bullshit.
Yep. And, yeah, dude, I'm just like, damn, well, that's a lot that of trouble.
Engineer, but we need this engineer over here from this game.
If only, like, that was, like, more accessible. Or, like, I'm sure you could make houses cheaper out of that than, you know, wood. And more sustainable. Like, you're cutting that shit down anyway. Instead of, like, going out into these forests and, you know... Unless, you know, I'm sure there's trees out there that do need cut down or whatever, thinned out or whatever. I don't know how that works, but, you know, if you don't log as much and go intentionally chop down these trees that don't need chopped down, and you have all this hemp that you could basically do the same thing with.
Because you're going to chop it down anyway.
Because you're going to chop it down because you're getting a product out of it. That stock isn't just going to magically grow more cannabis. No, yeah. It's dead. That's its life cycle. You do something with that.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully,
right? Like, yeah. Hopefully you're doing something with that.
Yeah.
Because you can do something with that. Like, there's a lot of things you can do with that.
Yeah.
The roots, too. You can break down the roots into other things. Those can be extracted. There's, you know, there's different things you can do from the whole plant.
Yeah. It is an interesting plant. I love it.
Yeah.
So cool. So much unlocked potential. Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Like... So all these little minor cannabinoids, right, that we don't see a lot of, imagine a higher dose of that. What does that do to you?
That's what I'm saying. Like, when we get into extracts in the future where they're able to isolate these, like, super minor cannabinoids and they're like, yeah, we...
Does that just put you on an astral plane? Yeah, like, we just, and you like, just understand?
And now you're just like, poof, yeah. It's like the weed's version of DMT and you're just...
Yeah, like, but it's like way calmer to you. You just... Yeah. You don't see too much, but you just feel this understanding. You just feel it, you know, over you. That'd be wild, dude. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Let's get there. Hurry up, science. Yeah,
we got this.
Hurry up, America.
Yeah. We'll be breeding for it. We're going to figure it out.
Oh, do you think that that weed companies grow their weed long enough?
No.
Yeah. I think that should be the quick answer.
Like, no, but there are some strains that can be cropped out in that time frame. So, like...
Right, but should they?
Yeah, sure. What? If you can. If they're fully mature and the cannabinoids you're going to get out of it are there, mm-hmm. Fuck it, dude. Chop it down.
Okay.
You know, like, if you're not worried about having a little bit of CBN in there, like, you know, doing some other things, like, yeah, dude. Especially if it's just for a recreational market, right? Like, you're wanting peak THC. That happens at a certain point.
Yeah.
And if that point happens to be 8 weeks, like, perfect, right?
Right.
Then, you know, commercially, it's viable. Or at least you hope so. At least you hope the commercially viable strains that they're growing are that.
Right.
But they're not, because they just chop them down early, right?
Right.
But, yeah, no.
How do you combat that if you have a deadline to meet? Like,
what? You have to raise your price.
You have to
raise your price. You have to do...
But will that work?
Small batch.
Well, have you seen it? You work on the retail side, or have in the past, yeah. I guess, more in the store. Yeah, do you see that working for companies? At least smaller companies or bigger companies? What do you see it happen more with?
So I think I saw this successfully happen with 50 Fold, at least for our shop. And they are a company who does a pretty high quality product, I feel like.
And they were already on the top shelf, right?
Right, yeah. They've always been on the top shelf. But they went from like a $40 price point to a $50 price point. And they were successful there. And then they came back down recently to like 40 something dollars. Closer to 40. Because mm-hmm. they caught up. They have more rooms. They can do that. But they were small batch. And so what was happening is people would buy out all their weed. Mm-hmm. Every harvest was accounted for. The mm-hmm. second it came out, right, they dropped a menu and it was like, boom, gone. And then they would never be able to give you a full order because of how many people they had to split it between. And so you get this little drop, and then like 2 or 3 days, all your 50 Fold's gone because everyone buys it.
And you didn't have a lot of it.
Yeah, you didn't get a lot of it.
So how were they?
Wasn't a lot of it. So they raised their price, so less people bought it. So there's more available. People are like, oh, okay, I'm not going to buy it.
So you think that was the tactic?
I think that that's the tactic, is like, okay, I'm going to raise my price because the people who do buy this, I'm making the money to offset. Right? I'm still selling all these units. It's just between less people.
So you have to have kind of, you need to have a rapport with you before you can kind of do that kind of
thing. Right. And you want to let them know.
Right.
Right. Like you want to be able to.
Like why? Like why am I raising?
Hey guys. So I think the companies that tell us way in advance, like, hey, in like 2 or 3 months, this is happening. This is why. just want to let you know, that's usually a better conversation.
Yeah,
right.
You think like, that conversation happens between
the fucking invoice and you look at the thing and you like thought they're this,
right?
And they're like, nah, they're this now, and you're like, but they've always been this other thing, right? Like,
right.
So, you know, like right on the spot, gotta be like, ooh, dang, I think I'm about to reject this whole order, like.
Right. And do you with a company like that, I guess, did they give you any more information about like why their price is going up? Did they explain that
like
to you,
after or
did they
the just fact, sure, right? Like every sales rep's going to be like, well, blah 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 blah. But the companies that have a reason why, and it makes sense, right? Like, hey, we have invested more into our grow, and we feel that we are now getting a higher quality product. But in order to offset that investment, our price is going to have to go up a little bit. We put a little bit more into it to get a better quality product for you guys, but you know, to reflect that extra effort or to cover the cost, this is this. You know, you're going to get less pushback when people understand why.
Yeah. Did that.
And, you know, other people can advertise that too. So, like, on a consumer's standpoint, like, when you're selling that product and people are like, dang, why is this price instead of this price, right? You can be like, oh, okay, well, hey, they just upgraded their grow process or their grow facility, and they grow this way now, or they use this kind of nutrients, or they switched over to this, or whatever the reason is. And like
at least you have a reason.
Higher quality product, and so now it's a little bit more expensive because they're doing better,
mm-hmm.
right? They've upgraded, so that's an easier conversation to have.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, hey, like I know you're getting this before, but this is better. Like this is like it's upgraded with the. That's why it's more expensive. Like it's still worth it.
Mm-hmm. But do you think the same would work if you need to push out an extra week into your flower time to grow that plant an extra week?
Sure. Yeah, you would just have to have less. You would have to be in less stores.
Okay.
Right? You got to think about like your sales rate. You got a specific yield, right? Like that poundage is finite. When that is sold, all those SKUs are accounted for. Like that's it.
right? The way that you keep people happy is to make sure that between now and whatever your stagger is for that longer cycle, 5 weeks, you know, maybe a month if you're trying to do it right, and you got hella grooms and you can stagger and offset them that way, or however you're doing, trying to accomplish that, right? But you get to a point where people expect that and you sell out and they're anticipating you to come back, and then when you do, dude, they buy through it.
Do you think strain consistency from a certain farm is important, or do you think people like to see new stuff from that farm on a consistent basis?
I think both. I think you want to have like a lineup that is tried and true, epic, right? Like these go-to strains that these are your bread and butter, right? They're easy to grow. You've mastered them, right? They're something you're always going to lean on. You got the yields out of them. You know, your pest management, your lights, everything works for these plants, right? Whatever you're doing works well for these. These are the ones you're going to do. People get used to that. They want that. But you can't just grow those, right? People are going to get bored. So you do have to throw something new. Even if it's not as good, people will be excited that there's something different. And, you know, how you do that successfully and how many new strains you drop and how many at a time, and are you pulling those onto your roster forever, or are they limited, or, you know, like those are all decisions you got to make from like a growing standpoint. But as a consumer too, like when I'm smoking, I have some go-to strains, right? Like I have some strains that I really enjoy and I really like to smoke, and I know what the high is going to be like, and I want that. Mm-hmm. But fuck, dude, sometimes I walk in there and I'm like, oh, they got what? Like, mm-hmm. That sounds delicious. That looks fantastic. Like that's got, it's totally frosty. Boom, crack it open. It smells great. Like,
you know, isn't that the worst when it doesn't smell great? Oh, when man. It looks fire.
It looks so fire and it's like doof, nothing. Like air.
So sad. And also, do you think there's too... Is there such a thing as too much variety?
Yeah.
You think there's the thing is... Absolutely. Fat Panda. Too many strains to be holding in at a one time.
Yes. I think so. I think this is not like... What other product line throws out that many flavors or that many variances, right? When you think about a one type of product. We're not talking about distillate and oil and mm-hmm. edibles and all these different things that you can make from the same thing. We're just talking about flower strains, right? Like Nike. Does Nike have... a couple hundred shoes, maybe, but they're huge and they can sell over the whole nation, and you know, like people order those. But when you're in one state and you got these strains, I feel like you don't give, it's a plant at the same time, right? Like you don't give those plants the same amount of justice as you do if you would have ran them 10 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, some strains, even like Fat Panda or a bigger company like that, like they have their go-tos.
Right. Right. Like the Golden Pineapple, the OG yeah. Camp. You're going to see yeah.
Trophy everything. Wife.
Right.
Yeah. Like just all that, that's going to be everywhere, right? Artisan, right? Like they're always going to have Dutch Berry. You
know? Blue Dream.
Yeah. Like they're always going to have those staples that you're just like, oh, yep, that's from that company. But, you know, you do want to keep it fresh, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this was a good conversation, man.
Yeah, dude.
I think we were able to recover from that big old mishap of, what, 30 to 40 minutes maybe of yeah. unused but unsaved audio, but that's okay. We almost come back.
Saved again. We were scared.
It's but... okay. We had a little freeze there, but hey, we made it, and
it was okay.
Hell yeah! I'm glad you guys, if you're listening, are here with us, are hearing this in the far future.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Sorry, it's so rough. It'll get better.
Much better.
But you know, I think it's pretty good right now. It's pretty smooth. It's a good combo.
Yeah.
Stay safe. Hydrate or dihydrate.
All right, goodbye.